Exodus chapter number 36. Last time we looked there in last Wednesday, we looked in Exodus 35 as Bezalel and Aholiab were to do this work of building all of these elements for the worship. And they were to teach others to do that work as well, so that they would help get this accomplished. And you know Moses was excited to have these folks doing this work. Can you imagine? Moses is the one leading this million plus band that's moving across the wilderness right now. And then on top of it, having to build all this stuff. Can you imagine the weight of this on Moses? The leadership alone is a weight that's unfathomable for us, especially with the way the people were so wishy-washy there in the wilderness. How quickly they would turn from the Lord. How quickly their eyes would get fixed upon the things of the world and off of the Lord, even while the Lord's there in their presence. He was there on the mountain. The fire was was consuming the top of Mount Sinai, filled with smoke all around. And while seeing that presence of the Lord there before them, knowing that they could not go up, they were forbidden to go up and touch the mountain or they would have died because of the holiness of the Lord. Right there in the presence of that, they have that idol made. They're bowing for it, worshiping that idol, breaking sacrifices that idol, and then they break out into that wicked party that goes on there at the base of the mountain. How easily their hearts can be changed and manipulated. Simply by the trappings of the world around them. Memories of what they had in Egypt. And this is one of the things that they will continually do. This will be the pattern for their lives, for their history, for that matter. They will continue to do this. And even this, in these 40 years that they're going to be going through the wilderness here, they're going to be constantly complaining to Moses about how their trip is going. And when they get thirsty, they'll complain about their thirst. When they get hungry, they're going to complain about their hunger. When the Lord feeds them, they'll complain about the food that He gives them. They are going to be constantly doing this. And God is constantly supplying, constantly giving, constantly providing everything they need. Everything to get them through this wilderness, to get them to the promised land. And they will constantly be complaining against Him. Constantly looking, constantly wishing they were back where they once were. Constantly looking back. Oh, if we were just in Egypt again and had those leeks and those onions, if we could just go back there and just have that, how much better off would we be? You know, I've never wanted an onion that bad before. I like them. They're good in my pinto beans. But I can eat my pinto beans without them. But that was their desire. Oh, this is so hard. And don't get me, it was hard. They were marching through the wilderness. It was hard. But God was literally giving them everything they needed. Right there in their presence, He would give all that they needed there. And yet they would constantly complain, constantly have their heads turned by the world. Sounds a whole lot like us, doesn't it? Chapter 36 here, we come to this passage here, and Bezalel and Aholiab are conducting this work. Now they've taken up what we find in chapter 35. They were taking up this offering of the people that God would put on their hearts what He needed for them to do this work. And so He put upon their hearts to bring whatever it was that was needed to complete this work, and the people brought those items. Now see, listen, that's remarkable there in God's provision for this. They didn't tell everybody, okay, you all bring this, just bring the gold, bring whatever the Lord lays on your hearts. If you've got, the Lord tells Moses there, if they've got skins, have them bring skins. If you've got the linen, bring the linen. And they all brought exactly what God put upon their hearts. And they had everything, as the scripture tells us here in chapter 36, they had everything that was necessary to build everything that God had shown to Moses on the mountain. So much so that they had to cut the people off here in this passage. No, we've got all we need. We've got all we need. You brought everything that we had need of. Notice what he says here. It says, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. There's folks showing up to volunteer. They were, hey, let's get this work done. We're here to help. We're here to do whatever it is we need to do. What do you have me to do? What is it you want me to build? What is it you want me to make? I'm here. I'm ready to do this work. And so they came, provided what was needed there, came with the heart of the Lord, as the Lord gave them that wisdom. They stirred up their hearts, he says there in verse number 2, whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Oh, we need God to stir our hearts to do His work. Oh, how we need His stirring to do the work that He's given for us to do. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. So they had more than enough to do the work, to build all that God had shown Moses to build, that He had put in the hearts of Bezalel and Aholiab specifically to lead the people, to teach those that would come what it was that they were to build, to make these things that God had given for them to make. And so He begins here in verse number 8, and this goes on all the way through chapter number 40. We're not going to go through chapter number 40 tonight, but all through the rest of it is the building of all of these items. As He describes each of these things that they set to build and to make. Verse number 8, He talks about from verse 8 down to verse 13. Specifically here is the putting together of the tent of the tabernacle itself. Every wise-hearted man, verse 8, among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle, made 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubim of cunning work made he them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, the curtains were all of one size. He coupled the 5 curtains unto one another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled one unto another, and he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the selvage and the couplings. Likewise he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of a second. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in the edge of the curtain, which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain to another. And he made 50 taches of gold, and coupled the curtains one unto another with the taches, so it became one tabernacle. And so they made these curtains of the tabernacle itself that would form the outer covering or the outer walls of the tabernacle, and they put all of those together. And they put all of those curtains, snapping them or attaching them together with these taches of gold. Verse 14, he made curtains of goat's hair from the tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains he made them. So this is the coverings for the top of the tabernacle itself. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain. 11 curtains were of one size, and he coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and he made 50 loops upon the uttermost edge of the curtain and the coupling, and 50 loops made he upon the edge of the curtain which coupled the second, and he made 50 taches of brass to couple the tent together that it might be one. And so he's made the coverings now. This one, anyway, of goat's hair. Then he mentions verse 19 of the coverings of ram's skin and then of badger's skin. Those 3 layers of coverings that were put upon the top of the tabernacle. He made a covering for the tent of ram's skin, dyed red, and the covering of badger's skin above that. And so you have these 3 coverings. Which made the roofing of the tabernacle itself. Then verse number 20, they made the boards and the sockets for the boards to rest in. Excuse me, he said verse 20, he made boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. The length of the board was 10 cubits, the breadth of the board 1 cubit and a half. One board had 2 tenons, equally distant one from another. Thus did he make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made boards of the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, southward. And so he makes the tent boards themselves. Each of these boards, of course, were made out of shittim wood and overlaid with that gold. Again, representative of the Lord Jesus in his humanity and his deity together, that which is called in theological terms the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus. There is that he is all man and all God at the same time. There's no division in him. And so you have that union in the Lord Jesus there that is being shown in this building of the tabernacle. And by the way, it's not only in the building of the tabernacle itself, but we find it in every one of the elements as far as the furniture is concerned that they use. We see the Lord Jesus Christ represented in that picture there, in his humanity and his deity together there, being revealed, being shown throughout all of these elements of worship that they're building here. So in verse 24, it says, and 40 sockets of silver he made under the 20 boards. Each board had 2 sockets that the tenons would slide down into, and those sockets would be put into the ground, made of silver. And silver, of course, representative of grace. That's what it always shows us in the scriptures. And so you have these silver sockets there fixed in the ground These boards slid into these silver sockets to hold them erect, to stand them up, and then they're banded together with the staves that go, or the rods as it's called, that goes along the outer side of those particular boards to hold them up. And so each one has these two silver sockets below each board, as he says there in verse number 24. Verse 25, he says, "And for the other side of the tabernacle, which is toward the north corner, he made 20 boards. And there 40 sockets of silver, two sockets under one board, two sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, he made 6 boards. And 2 boards made he for the corners of the tabernacle on the two sides. And they were coupled beneath and coupled together at the head thereof to one ring. Thus he did to both of them in both the corners. And there were 8 boards, and their sockets were 16 sockets of silver, under every board 2 sockets." And so that is the walls itself of the tabernacle, the inner walls, those walls of gold. Can you imagine what that place looked like? When to step in as one of the high priest of the Lord, to enter into that place, or even for the people as they were setting it up, they got to see it. And what it would look like as they were erecting it. It was just when the presence of God would come into the place, that was when only the high priest could enter in. But when the children of Levi, especially when they were erecting all of it and putting it in place, they could go in and out and see it and take part in setting it up and putting it together. But once it was up, once it was put together, the presence of the Lord came in, the only person that could enter in was the high priest. So they got to see these things as they were setting. Can you imagine what that looked like as they were erecting this building there in the wilderness? What a stark picture that would be. In the middle of the Saudi Arabian desert, as we know it today, I don't know, there was obviously more vegetation there in their day than what we have today because of all the trees that are described that they cut. I mean, they had to get the shittim wood from somewhere. Now, maybe they hauled it all with them from Egypt. I don't think so. I think they got it that was supplied there for them in the area. Now that's not there now. It's all desert now. So it was probably a lot greener then than what we know of it today. But they got this wood from somewhere, and here they are in the wilderness there, and they have these walls of gold. They stand up there in the middle of their camp, and then they put the tent coverings around it there. They put the coverings over the top of it there. I mean, you just, as this thing's being erected, can you imagine what that looked like there in the midst of the people as these walls were set forth and erected for the place of worship for the Lord? In verse 31, he made bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the sides westward. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from the one end to the other. And he overlaid the boards with gold and made their rings of gold, the places for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. And so you have all of this gold now that's being put on here. And it's overlaid all of this shittim wood there. That all you see is the gold shining from that place. Verse 35, he made the veil of blue and purple and scarlet. That, of course, those colors speaking of his coming from glory in the blue, his deity in the purple, and then his blood being shed for us in that scarlet color. And they've got all of these there on the veils there as they are being made. So he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. With cherubim made he it of cunning work. And he made thereunto four pillars of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and he cast for them four sockets of silver. That's the inner veil, that which was in the Holy of Holies. And then the outer veil, it says in verse 37, he made it hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet, same colors again, representing our Lord. They're hanging there upon the front of that tabernacle, and so that all could see. They couldn't go in and see the inner veil. They had that same depiction on the outside of it. There was only that one door. There was only that one door into the tabernacle. That one door into the presence of the Lord. You couldn't get in any other way. You just had that one way. And that way is Christ Jesus our Lord. And represented in these two veils, one into the holy place, one into the holiest of holies, and that entering in. The only way we can come in to worship Him is through Him. The only way we can have that presence with the Father is through Him. It's only through Christ Jesus our Lord that we have that presence with the Father. It's only through Him that we are able to worship Him. It's only through Him that we have salvation given unto us. It's only through Him that our sins are forgiven. It's only through Him that we have that presence given to us in the Lord, before the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through Him. He is the door. That's what He said of Himself there in John chapter 10, being the door of the sheepfold. The only way we can be a part of His sheepfold is that we come through that door. And that door is Christ Jesus our Lord. And He's represented there in these two veils that are hung there for the people to see. The veil of blue and purple and scarlet, showing forth who He is, where He come from, the reality of His deity, and then the shedding of His blood that would pay for the sins of His people, that would open that way for us into the presence of God Almighty. He accomplishes this for us, our door, Christ Jesus. And so He made a hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of needlework, and the five pillars of it with their hooks, and He overlaid their chapiters and their fillets with gold, but their five sockets were of brass. Their five sockets were of brass. And so we have here this description shown of us of this tabernacle that was built for the worship of the Lord. In chapter 37, begins speaking here of the furniture that would be in the tabernacle, and each one of those representing the Lord Jesus, each one of those pointing to His work that He would accomplish for us in making that way for us to the Father. Each one of these representing our Lord Jesus. And He begins with the ark and works His way out. In the description, as God is giving description of what is to be built, it works from out to in. As far as the tabernacle is concerned, then He goes to the outer court. But in the tabernacle itself, He works from the holy place into the Holy of Holies. Here He's working backwards, back out from the holiest holies back out into the holy place, and then even out into the courtyard as He gets to the altars there. And so this is described for us here, all of these elements. Chapter 39 takes up with the garments of the priests again and describes the making of those. And then chapter 40, it's all set up and ready to worship the Lord. We'll get into chapter 37, Lord willing, next time. Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed.